Hey, it's Mozzie here. I don't have much experience when it comes to rallying, but Waukesha Racing Services does. And they're available now for your rally needs. They can help you with engines, design, paint, machining, fabrication. No job is too big or too small. There's CNC machines, 3D printers, a chassis build shop, and paint and engine shop that you can utilize. And you don't need to be an Aussie champion or factory back to be able to. From club to state to national level competitors and car owners, let Waukesha Racing Services help you with your rally needs. Call now on 1300 W Racing or email services at waukeshawracing.com.au.
My name is Luke Whitten. Welcome to Rally Sport Magazine's Special Stage Podcast. With me, as usual, is Peter Whitten. Peter, welcome back to Australia after a big weekend at the Otago Rally.
G'day, Luke. It's great to be back, but certainly it was a wonderful weekend over there in the South Island of New Zealand.
What was the weather like? From what I saw, it was nice and sunny, particularly on Sunday.
It was on Sunday. The whole country, well, I guess certainly the west coast of the South Island had incredible amounts of rain in the week leading up to the rally. Parts of the west coast had a metre of rain, would you believe it or not? It was just quite amazing. But in Dunedin, it rained pretty heavily on the Friday for the recce and also Thursday afternoon. But by the time the rally came around, it was all pretty much clear. Saturday was cool and cloudy, about sort of 9 or 10 degrees, so pretty chilly. But by the time Sunday rolled around, the roads had dried out and, yeah, there was plenty of dust on the stages.
We'll talk more in depth about the Otago rally shortly. But first of all, the Tasmanian ARC round has got a new home, Peter. Whereabouts is it going to and what should we expect from that location?
Well, it's going back to Burnie, which is a location that hosted the Australian Championship round when it was a tarmac event back in, the mid to late 2000s. This is a story that sort of, we've been following this for a while and it's we've known about it for quite some time, but haven't been able to release the news. But it came out earlier this week and certainly it'll be a change from the base that it's had previously in Launceston.
Launceston was a really good base for the Australian Rally Championship, particularly in those early couple of years. We really saw the locals get around the event and the crowds that turned up, particularly for that first super special stage in the middle of Launceston, was fantastic. But maybe over the past couple of years, it's got a little bit tired maybe. I'm not sure what your perspective is on that, Peter, having a lot more experience on Australian Rally Championship events than myself. But moving it to Burnie, it gives it a nice refresh, I think.
It does. And look, Rally Launceston was always a tremendous event, in my opinion. It was always great fun to go down there and see some different stages. I think from what I've heard that the car club that was running the event is not specifically a rally club. They're probably more circuit-based. So that was a bit of an issue. And with quite a lot of, I guess we would call them in loose terms, Tasmanian rallying royalty based on the northwest coast around Burnie, we're talking about the Maguires and those sort of people. It's great to see the event going to Burnie and I'm sure it will be a success.
From those few years when Burnie hosted the ARC, I believe it was 2008, 2009 and 2010, that event was on tarmac and used some of the Targa Tasmania roads. You were down there for one of those or one or two of those?
I was, yeah. I was actually a stage commander for one of the stages that was held in the middle of Burnie. So that was quite an experience. And in fact, it's probably, if my memory serves me correctly, it's the only tarmac round of the Australian Championship that we've had. So, totally different this year, though. I mean, it's going to be on gravel. There's a state round in Tasmania the weekend after this, which I think is running on quite a lot of the roads that will be used in the Tassie ARC round. So certainly different to what we've experienced in the past down there.
And the Maguire boys will be competing on that state round in the next couple of weeks. So some good preparation for them ahead of their home round of the Australian Rally Championship. I'm sure last year, the year before, but more importantly this year, they'll be super excited and very, very keen to do well at their home event.
Yeah, and certainly it's the last round of the championship, which is the last weekend in November this year. So by then, let's hope the championship is not decided by that period of time and that we're going to almost a winner-takes-all final. But and as I say, by that stage of the season, both the Maguire boys will be well up to speed in their Skoda Fabias and maybe they'll be able to put on a show and push for a victory.
Let's hope for a close battle regardless. We touched briefly on the Otago Rally, Peter. It was good, fine weather on that Sunday. what was the experience like? I know your Otago Rally attendance numbers is up and up. It's in the high teens, maybe even in the 20s at this point. But what was this year's like in comparison?
This year, I think I wouldn't say it set a new benchmark, because the rally has always been a really well-run event, and everything seems to go like clockwork. One thing I will say is probably two issues we saw this year was the emergence of the young guns in the New Zealand Rally Championship this year, and also the appearance of Chris Meek, which I think will perhaps do more for the popularity of the event than any other driver having been here before, just with Chris's comments after the rally and with his desire to come back again.
So Chris clearly had some strong comments saying it was the best rally he's ever done and the most fun he's ever had in terms of rallying. Why is his words any different to a Mads Osberg or Marco Martin? Those two that I just mentioned maybe don't have the profile that Chris does, but Chris's words were a lot stronger.
They were, and Chris has always been a very popular driver. Not that the other guys haven't, for sure. I guess he's always worn his heart on his sleeve a bit. We've seen that from his WRC end of stage interviews over many years. He's now 44, pushing 45. So he's at the end of his WRC career, and he did tell me that in the lead up to the event that he doesn't see himself getting back in a WRC ride. But clearly he still has the speed. And I think with the way rallying is set up in the UK, with so many guys who build cars and lease cars and send cars to other countries to compete, I think that will make will have a big impact. And certainly, even for the Silver Fern, we've seen in the past that the Tuthills have sent out Porsches, as they will again this year for the Silver Fern Rally. Yep. There's talk of Phil Mills sending some escorts out for the Silver Fern at the end of the year. So I really do see maybe that is a path that will happen, maybe not next year, but the year after, even with guys wanting to come out and do the Otago, and Chris's words and his comments that it is the best rally he's ever done will stand the event in good stead, I'm sure.
Chris was a part of the classic field in a Ford Escort RS1800. At the pointy end of the field, though, the New Zealand Rally Championship had a ding-dong battle at the top. Jack Hawkswood won the event, followed by Robbie Stokes in a Ford Fiesta. Jack is our guest on the podcast this week, so stick around and hear from him about his Toyota GR Yaris AP4 that's similar but different to the ones that we see in Australia, and Jack explains how he took that victory over the weekend. It was pretty tough and nerve-wracking for him, but the battle was so close, and it finished really with just a few seconds, about 12, 14 seconds to separate the winner from the second place man.
It was, and look, Jack Hawkswood and Robbie Stokes were, in my mind, the standouts from the rally leading into the event, with the absence of Hayden Padden, who was in Hungary competing. Most people would have said that Ben Hunt in his Skoda would have been the man to catch, but he was well off the pace on the first day. And on the first stage, we were spectating, and Jack Hawkswood was visibly quicker than anybody else. And I think his stage time was 8 seconds quicker than Robbie Stokes and over 20 seconds quicker than Ben Hunt. So he set the lead early, and although he didn't win as many stages as Robbie Stokes, he was able to maintain that advantage throughout and pulled off a thoroughly deserving first New Zealand Championship win.
We don't cover the New Zealand Rally Championship, Peter, as much as we do the Australian Championship, clearly. But from your experience, do you see this as a changing of the guard in the New Zealand Rally Championship, that there's a couple of young guys now who've got over the hump and been able to, A, win the event from Jack's point of view and put in a solid performance from Robbie's side?
Yeah, perhaps. I mean, the thing with Jack and Robbie is they've both had mediocre seasons, I guess, leading into this year. Both their cars have been at times unreliable, and both drivers have shown that they have the speed but haven't always been as consistent. And to see them both come through the 2 days of the rally without a mark on their cars was a fantastic effort. I guess the underlying factor there is that we still haven't seen them competing and beating Hayden Padden. So Hayden will be back for the next round in a few weeks' time. So I guess when he does return, it'll be return to normal in terms of him setting the pace. But let's see, because both these guys, their cars were quite a lot faster than they were last year. So that stands them in good stead for the rest of the season.
You've got to put all the pieces of the puzzle together before you can start winning rallies and getting up the top of any national championship, let's be honest. Brandon Semenuk is a guy who's done that in the USA. What was his performance like, Peter, at the Otago Rally?
Was pretty good, actually. I mean, he was never a guy who was spectacular to watch, but he was driving a normally aspirated six-cylinder Subaru Impreza. So he was competing in the all-comers class and he was running second to Andrew Graves in a Lancer Evo 3. So as I said, he was never going to challenge for victory, but he really did impress with his driving style over the weekend. And until the role that he had 3Ks into Currie Bush on the final day, he was going really well. It was interesting coming into the event that some people weren't quite sure how he would go. Obviously competing in the American Championship, he's the champion for the last 2 years, but he's had a car that is incredibly fast, and we really don't know the competition level in America compared to perhaps what we get in New Zealand. So it was going to be an interesting point to see how he went, but he certainly lived up to expectations, certainly from my point of view.
Who else were the stars of the show, Peter, of the Otago Rally? There was always a sideways escort wherever you looked, I think, and Richie Dalton may have been one of those highlights.
Richie Dalton was indeed. I mean, he finished as the first Australian home in fourth place, and Richie was, as you said, everywhere we saw him, he was going sideways, and said at the end of the rally that he would definitely be back next year to have another crack at it. The other one was Queenslander Tristan Carrigan, who was also hiring a Jeff Judd prepared Ford Escort RS1800, and he was even more sideways than Richie over most of the event, and had it not been for a brake problem on the first day, he would have finished a lot higher than he eventually did.
For sure. Peter, how did our tour group go? For those that aren't aware, we run a tour to the Otago Rally every single year. The guests jump on the bus and it's a nice atmosphere for everybody to enjoy the rally, and that's without hassle, without stress of knowing where to go or anything like that. How was the group this year?
Yeah, it was great. We had quite a lot of regulars and some new people as well. We had over 20 people on the tour. We saw five spectator locations or stage locations over the course of the rally, as well as doing some touristy stuff out onto the Dunedin Peninsula and a visit to Spates Brewery and a few other things. So it was great fun, and everyone was tired out at the end of it, but another good tour.
No doubt. Everybody seems to be tired after the Otago Rally. It's a big event and an important one on the calendar. You've obviously taken photos there, Peter. Myself, I was at the desk at home covering it for the event. So it's a busy time of the year for us, but we crack on as April continues and the state championships and the national championships keep going on their merry way. You recorded a podcast, Peter, with Colin Clark recently that went live on our Dust Trails podcast over the weekend. That Dust Trails podcast is now free, so you can listen to that now wherever you're listening to this podcast. Search Dust Trails and you'll find it on your podcast app. How was Colin to speak to? He's got a great story of how he got into the sport and also all the amazing rally radio stories.
Yeah, Colin's always a great guy to talk to and I guess listen to, because he's one of those rally guys that once you get him going, you just want to sit back and listen to the stories. And they began with when he first became involved in the World Rally Championship with Subaru World Rally Team and a chance meeting in a helicopter with rally legend Paddy Hopkirk. Wow. All the way through to the stuff that he did on rally radio and covering all sorts of events. And some really good stories with the voice of rally, as he likes to be called.
For sure. We've got a second part of the Colin Clark podcast coming out very shortly as well, so keep an eye out for that. Remember, search Dust Trails on your podcast app and you'll find it there. And the back catalogue as well, Peter. Over 3 or 4 years now, we've been recording those Dust Trails podcasts and all of them are live. So you might have missed some. You might have listened to some as a subscriber of Rally Sport Magazine, but you can listen to them all for free now. So take a listen, search Dust Trails, and you'll find them there. Do you have a favourite thus far of the Dust Trails interviews that you've conducted, Peter?
I probably do, Luke, and surprisingly, to me, my favourite interview would be the one that I did with Peggy Bourne, the wife of former rally star Possum Bourne, and I did that last year sometime, and it was just a wonderful chat to talk to Peggy about how she became involved in rallying and her relationship with Possum and how she followed him around the world and all the stuff that went on in their lives up until his tragic death at the Race to the Sky. hill climb in New Zealand back in 2003, I think it was. So, yeah, if you want a great listen, Peggy Bourne is the one for me.
The European Rally Championship had its first round at the weekend. That was where Hayden Paddon was. Clearly, he would have been gutted to miss his favourite event in the Otago Rally, but he was there in a Hyundai i20N Rally 2 defending his title. It wasn't the perfect weekend for him, though. He finished fourth. After the penultimate stage, he was in the fight for the rally win. It was just under 10 seconds away from that rally lead, and although he might not have chased and got that rally win, a puncture on the final stage really hindered his progress. And for those on this part of the world as well, Max McRae won the junior ERC event at long last, it seems. He had a myriad of mechanical issues that he had last year during the juniors. He was able to clinch that victory at long last.
Absolutely, yeah. We've seen that Max McRae has the speed and the talent to get these sort of results. But as you mentioned, Luke, last year he had a shocking run with reliability on the cars that he was using. So it's really good to see him start the year so well after a positive run on the opening round of the British Championship. Also worth noting too there that Hayden Paddon's New Zealand Championship winning car was used by Indian Gaurav Gill at the Otago Rally, and Hayden probably wouldn't have been too happy with the reports he was getting from back home. Gill crashed the car in the shakedown on the Wednesday before the rally and broke the front and rear suspension, and then tore a wheel off the car on the final day of the rally. So Hayden's crew's got a bit of work to do before they use the car again in the next few weeks.
That wouldn't have been the news that Hayden would have been enjoying waking up to in Hungary, that's for sure. But a fourth place for him, it gets him solid points on the board as he tries to defend that European title. The West Australians got their state championship underway at the weekend. Alex Rullo took the victory ahead of Dylan King by just a handful of seconds. Those two went hammer and tong over the rally. They traded stage times. They each had five stage wins. Alex in his Australian Rally Championship car, the i20N that he's been driving, and Dylan King in a new Yaris AP4. It's not new in terms of the body shell and the car itself, but it's new to him. He's recently purchased that from the Dimmicks, and it's really made a difference in his speed, I think. And it's going to be a great fight in the West Australian Championship. Do you think that that's a sign of things to come, particularly for the Forest Rally, which is their next event?
I think it sure is, Luke. I mean, yeah. Clearly Dylan King has shown the speed over the past few seasons, and he's a former Western Australian rally champion. Alex Rullo just come off finishing on the podium at the Rally of Canberra the week before, and to be only 4 seconds ahead of Dylan King at the end of that event in a much more outdated car, you would say, than what Rullo was driving is a fantastic result. And I think, yeah, he could certainly upset a few people at the Forest Rally.
Yeah, he can do. He's clearly looking to compete as part of the Australian Championship section of the event. By that point, there'll be a couple more Toyota Yaris AP4s, we're led to believe, to line up on the Forest Rally entry list. So there'll be lots of competition for West Australians as well as the Australian Championship competitors who will travel over there for the Forest Rally. It's that classic ball-bearing type of gravel that we're going to see. And on form, you would think Alex Rullo has a great chance to continue his podium run. It's the one of the only events he's competed on twice. He competed there in 2022 in the Mitsubishi Lancer, whereas last time out last year, he was in the Hyundai. So he's got experience on this event. Year to year, the stages don't change all that much. So maybe it is the chance for him to really step things up and challenge those Bates brothers on outright pace.
It could well be, and I'm sure he will do that. But just reading a report in another publication yesterday, Scott Petter has pretty much said that it's a bit of a two-horse race between himself and Harry Bates, according to what he thinks. And with a lot of testing to come in his Skoda, he's expecting to be a lot faster in Western Australia than he was in Canberra.
I haven't read that article, Peter, but a two-horse race might be a bit of a stretch to call it only two. You'd think that Lewis Bates, Eddie Maguire, and also Alex Rullo would have something to say about that. Maybe it wasn't quite on the mark. I'm not really sure that Scott would say something like that. I'm not sure.
Yeah, it may well have been taken out of context, whatever he said. But regardless, it's going to be a fantastic battle between the top half a dozen guys when we get to Perth.
Scott and Harry are clearly the leaders and the favourites, you would have to say. But those other people are chasing. They're chasing hard. And I'm sure that as the season goes on, things will get closer and closer. And I look forward to following along. This weekend is also the Croatia Rally, the fourth round of the World Rally Championship. Some ice was seen in Reki. If you've been on social media, you would have seen the ice on the tarmac stages of Croatia. It's going to throw a bit of a spanner into the works, particularly for our Aussies, Taylor Gill and Dan Brick, who will compete as part of the Junior World Rally Championship. That's going to be a tough battle if that ice stays around.
Yeah, the reports are that it won't, and let's hope for competitors' sake that it won't hang around. Of course, we want dry tarmac to produce the best result. And at the top of the leaderboard, we see the return of a couple of, certainly one of the legends of the sport in Sebastian Ogier, who's driving for Toyota again. And the second performance for Hyundai this year of Andreas Mikkelsen after he debuted the car at the Monte Carlo rally. So I'm really looking forward to see how Mikkelsen goes. He showed plenty of potential in previous years and clearly is the current WRC2 world champion. I'm just wondering whether he's still got that speed to challenge at the front, but we're going to find out soon enough.
It's a tough step up from a Rally 2 car to a Rally 1 car. The gap between the top class and the second class has got wider and wider as the last few years have gone on, and particularly the last couple of regulation changes that we've seen in the World Rally Championship. He did struggle on Monte Carlo, though. He was a long way off the pace, and he was learning the car, yes, but as things move forward, you've got to increase your speed quickly because Hyundai are in a big manufacturer's race with Toyota. They need results from their men. And for Mikkelsen to keep wandering around in sixth and seventh, I don't think it's going to do him any good because he's not going to get the points. And you would think that his points are going to be relied upon at some point this year.
Absolutely, yeah. And with Thierry Neuville clearly, the favourite and leading the World Rally Championship at the moment, he's going to be going hell for leather at each event. Ort Tanak is going to have some luck at some stage. But for Mikkelsen, he's really got to start to perform from now onwards. And clearly he's taking events from Esa-Pekka Lappi in the third car at Hyundai. And with Lappi having already won in Sweden this year, if the Norwegian doesn't start to perform, then the pressure will be coming onto him.
He did an event last weekend, a tarmac rally in that Hyundai that he'll be driving at the Croatia rally. It will give him some confidence to go into the event with extra testing time and extra miles under his belt. So let's hope that he's right up to speed. Toyota and M Sport, you mentioned just before Sebastian Ogier is back. Do you have any thoughts on where the M Sport boys might stack up this weekend? Formo will have a good road position being third in the championship. And then also a word on Toyota as to where they might stack up.
Adrian Formo has been the driver of the championship so far, hasn't he? He's finished third in the last two events. And after I wrote him off at the start of the year pretty much and said that he wouldn't finish on the podium. So he's had a tremendous start to the year. And his teammate Gregoire Munster, he's more of a tarmac specialist than a gravel guy. So I think we might really start to see some speed from him as well, which will be great. Looking at the entry list, I think Ogier is probably the man to beat, even though it's probably only his second event for the year so far. He's starting fourth on the road. That Yaris is clearly the best car as an overall package. I think he'll be the man to catch. Elvin Evans will be there or thereabouts. He's usually quick on tarmac. But picking a winner, I think you'd be hard-pressed to go past Ogier.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. In terms of our crew in the Junior World Rally Championship, the Australians that will be flying the flag for from home, Taylor Gill and Dan Brick, what do you think their expectations are for the weekend?
I think Taylor, if he can finish, probably top five would be a really good result. I know he will certainly be hoping for more than that and want a top three finish, but tarmac is not his preferred surface, obviously, and starting in the second round of the championship. It's still early on in the year. He's still wanting to get points. He had a disappointing result in Sweden where he had two punctures and dropped time and finished eighth. But he did show that he had the speed there. But he's up against some really tough competition. There's Romet Jørgensen, from Estonia, Eamon Kelly, the Irishman, Raul Hernandez from Spain. There's a lot of good guys there who are very fast. And it's one of those classes where you'll have the guys that go out and try and accumulate points throughout the season, and you'll have the guys that go out and try and win every rally. I don't think Taylor's the latter in that sense. I think he'll try and accumulate as many points as possible, because you really need to get to the middle of the season with a healthy stack of points and being with a chance of winning the championship rather than winning one rally and crashing at the next.
It's funny how expectations change, though. When we spoke to Taylor Gill before the Swedish rally, he was hoping to get into the top half of the juniors, whereas now it's the expectations rise a little bit. It changes over one event, and it changes very fast.
It sure does, yeah. And Taylor's been doing quite a lot of training in the lead-up. As I mentioned just before, he's not a tarmac specialist by any stretch, but he's done quite a lot of tarmac driving in recent times, non-competitively, I might add. But he's done a tarmac driving course with one of the very respected and renowned rallying coaches over in Croatia. In Italy. So he's learnt quite a lot from that. And he's from a guy who's trained the likes of Esa-Pekka Lappi and all the greats from the last few years. So speaking to Taylor's dad, Dallas, at the Rally of Canberra, he's learnt quite a lot. And there's just little minuscule bits that they pick up on where to position a car on the entry or an exit to a corner. And you've only got to be able to gain half a second or a quarter of a second on every major junction or corner. And that adds up to a major stack of time at the end of a stage.
Let's hope for Taylor and Dan's sake they have a good, strong run this weekend. They gather a big bag of points, and their Junior World Rally Championship season can continue and really be kick-started by a great points score. This weekend, the Victorians go rallying. The second round of the state championship is at the Ada River Rally this weekend. It's based at Noogee, to the east of Melbourne. Adrian Stratford is the leading seed. Josh Redhead, who's fresh off a good result at the Rally of Canberra, is travelling down with the I-20 G4. Do you have some expectations on the weekend, Peter?
It'll be a really tough fight. The stages down there, they're very much they're very much old Rally of Melbourne type stages, so big tall trees. And Adrian Stratford was the victor at the opening round at Minamitta a few weeks ago. But as you just mentioned, Josh Redhead has got the Hyundai i20 G4 that he debuted at the Rally of Canberra. So he's getting to grips with that car now, and I think it'll be a really tight battle. And, picking a winner won't be easy.
It won't be, that's for sure. Best of luck to everybody going rallying this weekend. Have a fast and safe run.
And, best of luck also to one of our team, Matt Whitten, who's co-driving for Nick Seymour in the Ford Fiesta this weekend at Ada River. So we hope to see their car at the finish, and they have a good run.
Thanks for your time, Peter. We'll speak to you next week on the podcast. And for everybody listening, thank you, and have a great week yourselves. Jack Hawkswood, welcome to the Special Stage Rally Podcast. It's been a pretty big week for you, winning the Otago Rally. First of all, congratulations on the win. How does it feel to be a New Zealand Rally Championship round winner?
Oh, it still feels surreal, actually. I was just talking to somebody about it before, and it still just feels like a big crazy dream. But it's definitely real, and it's definitely a dream come true for me. It's just always, like the last few years, it's just always seemed like such an unobtainable thing. But, here we are.
Your father, obviously, Andrew Hawkswood, a New Zealand Rally Champion himself, to be the first father and son to win rounds of the New Zealand Championship must be pretty special too. And to have your family there would have been awesome as well.
Yeah. No, I think my dad had the best day, spectating out he's ever had in his whole life. He was... I was talking to Mum a bit about it later, and he was out yahooing and rowdying everybody up at all the spectator junctions and getting them all going. So it was a bloody special day, actually. And if you've seen the end of stage interview, it was pretty emotional.
Absolutely. When you talk about fathers and rallying, they're often nervous people. A lot of father and sons, they both drive themselves, and when, say, the father's not driving, they're nervous, like a cat on a hot tin roof. Is that how you describe your dad when you're driving?
Yeah. No, he definitely gets into it. He barely came and spoke to me at the last service.
Yep.
At Waihola there. Yeah, he barely came and Billy came up to me and talked to me. I think he was about as nervous as I was.
How do you sum up the weekend? Were you going to go into the first stage and go as fast as you can from the start? Did you think that your pace would be able to do that and to get the win?
Look, we pretty much just broke the weekend. We broke the weekend down into blocks, and that was the plan, is that, you know, we had a pre-season test, and we were at a rally sprint a few weeks before, and we were really happy with the result that we got there and how the car was all going and feeling and stuff. Mm-hmm. And it was really similar sort of road conditions and stuff like that to what the rally sprint was. So we just figured, oh, well, first two stages, we'll just, or first stage anyway, we'll just go hard and just see if we can catch everybody napping, and we'll just go from there. And yeah, the first two stages, I even surprised myself at how well we got through them. And then it was just pretty much just after that, it was just dial it back a bit and sort of try and feel out the pace of everybody else and, just keep working through it and in the blocks in between services. And that's, pretty much all we did all weekend.
Yeah. And it's difficult in many ways, the sport of rallying, because there's different aspects to it everywhere. You wouldn't have had the opportunity to lead and try and manage a lead over the course of a weekend. And as soon as you got out to your 15, 20 second lead, that's basically where it stayed. Were you in the car thinking about managing that, or were you just simply focused on driving, or was there a lot of things going on in your head?
Oh, there's a lot going on, but that's where I was real fortunate to have Jason with me, because he's so wildly experienced with, you know, running at the front end of the field, and we just had a good plan the whole way and just kept sticking to it. And we just had each stage was just sort of about just feeling the pace out and sort of trying to plan about what everyone else is doing and try and sort of think about what, you know, where everyone's going to have a go, and you know, might need to crack on a bit harder in that stage. And I think we pretty much nailed it all weekend.
Yeah, it's a pretty good approach. And you say Jason Farmer, your co-driver, it's the first season that you've been with him. You've had a few co-drivers in your young career. What's Jason done for your driving and for your skill level to help you improve and then sort of get over the hump and win that first round? Because clearly the experience and the talent from his side is there.
Yeah. No, it's just, you know, he's just got so much experience with, you know, just with everything. And, you know, it's really helpful to have a co-driver that's, you know, he's been at the front of the field and he's in New Zealand. He's won a championship and he knows what to do. Yeah. And it's just super, super helpful to have somebody like that with you, because he can, you know, he's been in that situation before, whereas I was just absolutely packing myself the whole time. But yeah, he's been there before and he knows, you know. But he even admitted to me after the rally that even he was nervous going into that last loop of stages on Sunday. So
yeah, the co-driver's got a job to do. You've got a job to do. The car's got to keep together. There's so many moving parts.
Yeah, exactly. And I think all the stars just aligned for us over the weekend. But even though Jason, that was our first rally together, like we did a rally sprint together, and like we just clicked instantly. You know, it's just we just made a really good team all weekend, and you know, everything was all sweet. We got on all good, and both of us are really happy. So I'm, really looking forward to the rest of the season with him.
No doubt. Your main competitors across the weekend, Robbie Stokes in the Ford Fiesta AP4 was incredibly fast. He was the main guy at your heels. Ben Hunt finished in third place. He was a little bit further back than what Robbie was. We're looking in the rearview mirrors. We all know that Robbie's fast and has got the ability. Sometimes the car can be a little bit unreliable, but to win your first round is great, but to be able to win your first round after a huge fight like that, I'm sure you're pretty rapt about it.
Oh, yeah, and like I keep saying it to people, like I would have been absolutely gutted if something had happened to Robbie, you know, if he'd broken down or whatever, but like, because it would have been almost by default with the lead that we had over Ben. And I'm just so, so glad that we made it, that, you know, both of us made it through. You know, definitely. I think that's the highest that both of us have ever placed in a rally. So it was pretty special for both of us as well.
Definitely.
Yeah. You know, we hugged it out at the finish line and I was like, man, it was definitely the coolest racing I've ever done. I've never had to fight for something so hard like that before.
And the good thing about rallying is you can be great mates with your best competitors and whatnot. And I'm sure you guys at the top of the New Zealand Championship, like it is at the top of the Australian Rally Championship as well, everyone's mates, and you can chat at the end of a stage, you can chat before a stage and really enjoy each other's company while you're going hell for leather on the stages.
Yeah. It was a lot like that. Yeah. We were, it kept pulling up behind us at the starts of stages and stuff like that, and get out and have a yarn. And it was going into the second to last stage, actually, we had Ben pull up with us as well, and we're all standing there having some yarns on the side of the road.
Fantastic. The car itself, we saw it in beautiful Toyota colours at Rally New Zealand when the WRC came to town a couple of years ago in New Zealand. It's in a new colour scheme now. Can you tell me a little bit about the car? Because in Australia, where we're closer here, we know a lot about the GR Yaris AP4s that Neil Bates Motorsport have built. You guys have built that one in New Zealand. Can you tell me a bit about that and compare it perhaps to the AP4s that are built here?
Yeah, so our Yaris that we've built here, we've kind of used it a lot off our, it's sort of based a lot around our Mazda AP4 platform,
yep.
Which is a platform that we know that we've done a lot of development work with, and we know it works really well. And it's sort of very close to Hayden's Hyundai i20 AP4 as well. But a couple of key differences is we use Ryger suspension, and we use our own in-house uprights that we make. Same with all the subframes and so all the arms and stuff like that. Everything, we do everything in house here. Yeah. But that's probably the main differences between them.
Yeah. You obviously use a 3-cylinder engine as well. Yep.
We use the 3-cylinder engine, and that's probably another thing that's sort of led to our success, is that it's kind of always been a bit of a Achilles heel for that car. It's been that engine. But like in the off season last year, we did a whole lot of development work with the engine, and we've it's going really good now. We're getting some really good power out of it.
And what's it like to drive in comparison to the Mazdas and stuff that you've driven previously? Obviously, the GR Yaris platform was built for rallying. That's why it was manufactured by Toyota. Do you feel it's a lot more stable, it's a lot more suitable to rallying, and the way you guys have built it has been suitable for your driving style?
Yeah, I think, it's actually surprising how, now that we've got all the suspension and stuff a bit more finely tuned, is actually surprising how well the car, like how well the chassis sort of reacts and handles and stuff. Is actually really surprising. Like I did some driving earlier in the year in the Mazda, just some development stuff.
Yeah.
And then went and hopped in the Yaris, and it was actually kind of shocked me a little bit how different they are when the only thing that's different in them is the chassis.
Exactly. Yeah.
And how different they handle. But yeah, the car's incredibly stable, and especially at high speeds, it's noticeably more stable than the Mazdas are.
And that's going to be a good advantage across the New Zealand Championship season, given the roads are fast and you need a car like that.
Yeah. Well, it made a massive difference down in the South Island, that's for sure. Down some of those roads down around Lawrence there, some of them were just absolutely flat out the whole time.
That car as well, you say it's had some development, it's had the Mazda DNA sort of built into it in many different ways. Are you guys at Force Motorsport running a bunch of guys through this season championship? We know there's still a lot of the Mazdas about in the championship, but are you guys still dealing with them directly?
Yeah, so we still supply a lot of the parts for a lot of the AP4s in New Zealand, and we're kind of like the parts mill at the at some rallies.
Yep.
We show up with a van load of parts for everybody, but we have sold one of our Mazdas, and we are running him this year. I don't think he's going to be at the next one, but he's from Vanuatu, and he just flies in and does it. But no, the other Mazda, I'm not sure how much he's going to do this year, but he's pretty independent as well. But we have got another guy who has a Proto Fiesta who's going to be doing some rallies with us at the end of the year, and there might be a Skoda coming as well that somebody's going to be driving.
Yeah, great stuff. It's good to keep you guys busy off the rallies as well, because you love driving, clearly, and the way that you can build your team and make sure you're still involved in many different levels is a good thing.
Yeah, no, it is. And, a lot of the success over the weekend is always down to the team. I'm really lucky to have such a great team helping me out, and like without these guys that I've got, you know, I would never would have been able to pull it off over the weekend. So I'm really, really grateful for to have those guys helping me.
Going into that final stage, and you mentioned that you were packing yourself at that service before the last set of stages. Currybush, it's a crazy stage. There's lots talked about it whenever April rolls around and the Otago Rally. You had a big crash there before, a few years ago.
Yeah, that was the start and almost the finish of my rallying career, and my first ever rally was on.
You're joking? Yeah, yeah.
Was on Currybush. Yeah, yeah. That was in a front wheel drive car, and yeah, we came unstuck over a crest and tapped the bank on the outside just ever so lightly, but we ended up rolling 8 times down the road and completely destroying the car.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's definitely a stage that needs to be treated with respect. It's you know, every year it's always a stage that everybody, you know, everyone guns for, mm-hmm. guns on. But yeah, like we had a little moment in there, right? You can see it on the live. You could see it on the live stream.
Mm-hmm.
And came a little bit wide over a corner, over a crest, and we're down in the drain. But yeah, like we got a little bit lucky with that one. I had to definitely back off a bit after that.
Yeah,
yeah. I was thinking, I was like, man, that would have been a bit embarrassing stacking it right in front of the live stream.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, nerves just ramp up a lot when it's such a stage like that at the finish. It's not a short stage. It's 15 kilometres.
Yeah,
it's a tough one to manage and master.
It is. It definitely is. It's a 15-kilometre roller coaster. It, it definitely needs to be treated with respect. And,
yeah.
You know, I give it to Hayden with the stuff that he does on that stage. It's just, you know, even Ben, that time that he put on there. And the other thing was too is that they ran it as the power stage this year.
Mm-hmm.
So we were trying to have a bit of a crack and get some extra points without throwing it all away. But after that little moment, I was just like, oh well, I think we'll just slow down a bit and just take the one.
Yeah, all the internationals call it their favourite stage, but from a New Zealand mm-hmm. point of view, do you think it's the best stage of the rally? And can you compare it to anything else in New Zealand? Everybody's got their favourites.
It's definitely a love hate relationship. Like it's a cool. It's a bloody cool piece of road, and I love driving on it. But yeah, like I say, man, if you step out of line on it, it's all over.
Yeah, you're in trouble pretty quick. The championship now, is that a true goal of yours? Was it the goal before Otago, and is it the goal after?
The goal before Otago was just to get through Otago and just see how we go. But yeah, now looking forward, we're still going to just take it round by round and just see how we just. Sort of just do the same thing, just break it down a bit and just chip away with it and just see how we get on. We're definitely got our eyes fixed on the championship now. It's going to be a bit hard with Hayden coming back, but we definitely got our eyes locked on the championship.
Yeah. South Canterbury's next up on the calendar. What experience do you have of that event, and do you enjoy those roads?
I haven't got very many good experiences from that event.
Yeah.
But I'm definitely looking forward to it. You know, it's same just South Island roads. They're just absolutely beautiful mm-hmm. down there. They're much like the rally that we had on the weekend. They tend to be quite fast and, you know, open. But I'm definitely looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to getting back in the car with Jason and cracking on again.
You're on a high, so you got to keep driving. Yeah. That's the way it is. Keep the momentum rolling. It'd be remiss of me not to ask about Australia.
Yep.
Is that on your list to do a round in Australia at some point?
Oh, I'd absolutely love to get over and do some stuff in overseas and in Australia and stuff like that. But I think this year we're just really going to focus on what we're doing here and not try and get too far ahead of ourselves.
An international rally you did compete in was the APRC final a few years ago. What was that experience like, very briefly?
Oh, no, it was that was pretty special. That was it was definitely an eye opener. It's you know, you don't realize how lucky we've got it down here in New Zealand until you go to somewhere like that and you're driving up goat tracks up the side of a mountain range. And but yeah, no, that was definitely a really cool experience. I definitely want to do some more stuff like that. But yeah, like I say, we'll just not try and get too far ahead of ourselves. We've still got a long way to go this year.
Yeah, keep rolling in the New Zealand Championship, and you never know where the season might take you if the form continues on as is. Jack, thank you so much for your time, mate. Well done at the weekend, and look forward to following on the season as it goes ahead in the New Zealand Rally Championship.
Cool. Thanks for that, mate.
Hey, it's Mozzie here. I don't have much experience when it comes to rallying, but Waukesha Racing Services does, and they're available now for your rally needs. They can help you with engines, design, paint, machining, fabrication. No job is too big or too small. There's CNC machines, 3D printers, a chassis build shop, and paint and engine shop that you can utilize. And you don't need to be an Aussie champion or factory back to be able to. From club to state to national level competitors and car owners, let Walkinshaw Racing Services help you with your rally needs. Call now on 1300 W Racing or email services at walkinshawracing.com.au.